more, and you see more joy. I've seen more joy in maximum security prisons than you see in most Baptist churches these days. It's an indictment on us, but that is a fact. I'm not preaching a Christmas message this morning. If you wanted Christmas, you ought to have been here Wednesday, Tuesday night. I got the Christmas message out of the way on Tuesday night and preached on the Lamb of God. I want you to turn your Bible to the Song of Solomon this morning, please. Solomon's Song and chapter number 8. You find that chapter in your Bible. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God.
Amen.
Song of Solomon, chapter number 8, and we're going to put in reading. In fact, we'll read one verse, number 5. Verse number 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His wonderful, wonderful Word this morning. Let's look to Him in prayer. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being in the house of God. We thank You for the Bible. Thank You, Lord, for its promises. Thank You, Lord, for its truth. Thank You for the grace that You give old sinners and lifting them out of the pit and putting them on a straight and narrow path. Thank You, Lord, for the blessings of life and the goodness of God to us in the land of the living. I pray, O Lord, that You'd bless me this morning, help me to be a blessing. I pray You hide me behind the cross, and may this congregation today see Christ high and lifted up as their Savior and as their Lord and soon coming King. I pray that You'll grant liberty in the house of God, You'll save old sinners, and get glory and honor to Your wonderful and blessed name. And Father, we'll thank You for it and praise You for all that You do. Give grace now, Lord, and help. You said You're a present help in trouble. Give that grace and that help that I need this morning, that liberty, that power, that unction, and I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to call our attention now to verse number 5. I just read it. And the Bible said there, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? And then the Lord goes on to say, and I believe that is the Lord speaking, and said, I raised thee up under the apple tree. And I want to preach for a while this morning, if God will help me, on a pilgrim's resting place. A pilgrim's resting place. He saw the church coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. I think that we see this in this verse. As the church who is a pilgrim and a stranger in this land. I want to say, my friend, if you're anything but a stranger in this land, that you've got deep spiritual problems. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And I tell you, the longer that I live here, the less attached I become to the world, and the deeper my roots grow in heaven above, where Jesus, our Lord, sits on the right hand of God. And so we're a pilgrim and stranger in the land, and the Lord sees His bride coming up out of the wilderness, and she's leaning upon her beloved. I want to say that she found something that some of you in this building need to find desperately this morning. She found herself a real place of rest and stability as she makes her way toward heaven's throne. Now, I'm telling you, that's the greatest need in our Baptist churches today, is for God's people, my friend, to find a place of rest and stability and security as we make our way toward heaven's throne. I'll never forget old Brother May Jackson years ago. In fact, 1985, he preached at Tabernacle on Alumni Day in the chapel there in an afternoon hour. And old Brother May's preached on the life of Joseph. and preached on the troubles that Joseph went through, being forsaken by his brethren and cast into the pit, being lied about by Potiphar's wife and being cast into the prison. And Brother May said all of these things that happened to Joseph was just another step that he made on the way to the throne. Now, I want to say to you, my friend, that life's troubles and trials that we are going through is just another step in our Christian life on the way to the throne. And unless you find somebody to lean on, unless you find, my friend, somebody to give stability, unless you find some sustenance and someone to sustain you, you're going to have a bitter, enduring trial on your way to the throne. But I'm glad I can say this morning, my friend, if you lean not on the arm of your beloved, but on His entire being of your beloved, you'll make your way to the throne coming out of the wilderness, rejoicing in God and thanking Him that you've been to Calvary, got your sins washed away, and birthed into the family of God, and you're God's child for all time and eternity. Hallelujah. Amen to God. The bride here has discovered a strength that is enabling to her, not in herself, but in the beloved. And if we'll ever get our eyes off of self, our thinking off of self, our heart off of self, and set our heart upon our beloved, and realize that He that has birthed us in the family of God will provide for us from earth to glory, we'll make the trip with much more joy and confidence in our Lord. I won't say our reward at the judgment seat will be much better too. Huh? I wonder what God thinks this morning. As He looks down from heaven, knowing that He died to redeem our never dying soul and to bring joy to our hearts, and we look like, bless God, we're still going to hell. I'm going to tell you, hey, you ain't going to find the sympathy with me you find with Him, friend. Huh? Benny said this morning, said he had a dream the other night. He's in a stainless steel elevator and took going on an elevator ride in hell. And said the higher he went in hell, the harder it got. And I got to thinking, praise God, I'm afraid some of these folks in here had the same dream you did, son. Are you listening to me? She had found someone. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Jesus said, she's there because I raised her up underneath the apple tree. She had found a resting place. As a pilgrim and a stranger, she had found strength and stability and peace and rest and contentment and satisfaction that the world knows absolutely nothing about. Psalm 27 and verse number 1, the Bible said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He is our strength in our life. And if so, we can lean upon Him, my friend. And He has the power to sustain us in every circumstance of life. Somebody said, when you going to quit preaching that? When you learn it. When you get a hold of it. That joy and happiness and contentment does not depend upon the circumstance of life. It depends, my friend, upon the fact that Christ died, yea, rose again, and is seated at the right hand of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Said in Psalm 73 and verse 26, He said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart.
and the portion of my portion forever. Now, if He's the strength of our heart, that means He's holding it up. Oh, my soul, oh, my heart, why art thou so disquieted within me? Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sunken? If God is the strength of my heart, the lifter up of my soul, the buckler of my spirit, then why is my soul cast down within me? I'm going to tell you why. You're a little whine bagging baby and didn't get everything you wanted your way, and you don't know best from best the grace of God in your life. Some people don't get everything they want. You ain't going to get everything you want in life. Do you think Christ wanted, my friend? Do you think the cross was joyous to Him? The pain, the suffering? Do you think He got everything He wanted in life? God help. Amen. I mean, you can stare at the ceiling if you want to. It ain't going to change the fact Michigan and you're high. This is Christmas, buddy. Now I'm saved, I think I'll just get over here around Jerome and me and Jerome worship God a little while this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully now. I believe the great need of the hour is for us to cast all of our care upon Him. For He's able to sustain us. He's able to carry our load. And He's able to carry it without ever stumbling one time. There is none occasion of stumbling in Him. And you don't have to worry about overloading Him, son. All power is given unto Him both in heaven and in earth. He can carry your load, my load, their load, Uncle George's load, Aunt Susie's load. He can carry the world if He can sustain the world by the word of His power. Surely. Sustain you and I. Now I want you to hang with me now. I'm going to try to preach to you a little while. He said, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness? I see basically four things in this verse that I want to call to your attention. There's more things there than that, but four that I want to bring to your attention. First of all, I see her parting from the wilderness. I said she is departing. She's parting from the wilderness. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? She has been there, but she's coming out of there. That could mean one of two things. Either the wilderness of life as a sinner that's lost, entangled in the wilderness of sin, without God and without hope, but has now found a resting place, and she's coming up out of that wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. Or it could refer to a child of God that's been saved and like the Israel of old has wandered in the wilderness and is now after 40 long years made their way to the river of Jordan and he's coming out of that wilderness to cross into the promised land. At any rate, my friend, she is parting from the wilderness and making her ascent up to a heaven throne, leaning upon her beloved. Amen. I won't say this. I want everybody to listen to me now. If you don't hear anything else I say, you better hear this. Between every believer in Canaan is a wilderness. I want to repeat that for some of you. Between every believer and Canaan, there is a wilderness. And you can't go around it. And you can't go over it. By the grace of God, you're going to have to go through it to learn some things, my friend, that you'll be a better Christian for God when you get on the other side of it. It's there. And you're not going around it. And I'm going to tell you why some of you are still wondering. You've never learned to drink the water from out of the rock. You've never learned to feast on the manna that fell from the sky. You've never learned to trust in the rod that the shepherd has in his hand. That's why some of you. Huh? Hallelujah. There is a wilderness between every believer and Canaan. My friend, God's not going to move it out of the way. He's not going to make any exceptions. He's not going to make one exception for you. Somebody said, I'm weaker than others. He lean on Him. I'm not as knowledgeable as somebody else. Lean on Him. I'm not as spiritual as others. Lean on Him. I don't see a degree of spirituality one has to reach to lean upon His or her beloved friend. No educational level, academic level, or no level in society for you and I to lean upon our beloved. The rich man can lean on Him. The poor man, white man, black man, beggar man, son, the kings that are in authority, and all those that He's brought out. He's brought us all out of a beggar's dunghill so we can all lean upon our beloved. Hallelujah. They're there in the wilderness to be tried. She had been there being tried. I'll guarantee you on that. And I don't know how long she had been there, but Israel spent 40 years in that wilderness being tried. Four and any multiplication of it is a number of trials. And the longer it is, the more intense the trials. She had been there for 40 long years, maybe, in the wilderness, being tried, being tested, being proved. Oh, we don't want those testings and trials today. But Brother Hall, why do you preach on it? Some of you need it. You've never learned that God has tried you in the wilderness. And son, while you're there under trial and under tribulation, there is a God, son, you can lean on. And if you ever learn to lean on Him, make it much easier for you. Your trip will be much more precious. Huh? Israel spent 40 years leaning upon their beloved in the wilderness. Our Lord Jesus was 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness being tempted of the devil, being tried. Now get this now. Somebody said, now Brother Hall, I don't like to be there. Hey, I wonder if they enjoyed it, but here's the bottom line of it all. That pillar of fire and that cloudy pillar led them into that wilderness, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. And if you read Matthew's account, the Bible said, and He was led of the Spirit. Now I'm telling you, son, every believer is going to be led of the Spirit into the testings and trials that occur to you and I in the wilderness of wandering. But the sooner you learn that, better off some of you are going to be. Some of you don't know how to handle things like that. I love you this morning. I've been here 14 years today now. And I love you. I want to point out something to you. If you will mature a little bit, you'll learn how to take those trying times and those situations to the closet and leave them there and come to the house of God with a smile on your face and leave your little pet peeves at home with you. I sat on the love seat at the house yesterday, put my arm around my wife and wept over. She told Benny, she said, he's afraid I'm going to die. It broke my heart and it wept. I wept a little bit. She said, he thinks I've got cancer. Doc said I was anemic. I don't know what she's got. But I can tell you one thing that I do know she has got. The power of the Holy Ghost living in her and me and our hope. And son, He has done all things well. Why would I want to come here and discourage you with my own problems? Son, I got to come here and try to elevate you a little bit. I'm going to come here with my problems to you. The Lord said about Himself, said if I was starving to death, I wouldn't tell you anything about it. Hallelujah. Brother Peter said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, not maybe is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory, when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. Somebody said, when's that glory going to be revealed? It's going to be revealed when it comes, but I'm going to tell you something. I've got a funny feeling Peter's talking about when that glory is revealed in you.
Amen.
Brother Paul said, when it pleased the Father to reveal His Son in me, reveal His sufferings in us, reveal His joy in us, reveal His glory in us, reveal His power in us. Oh, yes. And, oh, yes, when that trial of faith, the glory of God will be revealed in you and I. I thought when I was a young preacher, and I'm not an old one yet, don't get no ideas about you. I ain't ready to be turned out to pasture quite yet. When I was a younger preacher, I thought, well, praise God, all you got to do is take a text, get a little outline, get up there and let her rip. But I'm going to tell you, I've learned a few things since then. You know what makes preachers? Experience, son. Walking through the fire and having some experiences in their own life that they can preach with some authority, knowing that God has delivered them and has the power to deliver His hearers also. I've been through a few things. And I've watched Him deliver me, and if He can deliver me, He can deliver you. I was reading about one of them old Puritan writers in that Gospel Mission catalog the other day. And they had a little article, you know, about each one of them writers. And one of them said, what made this man was so powerful in his preaching was that he had such an ardent desire in his bosom for God to work the same work in His people that He had worked in him. And son, that is my desire for you. I don't make any bones about it. Paul said, I would that God all of you was like me, except these bonds. And I would that God all of you could be made like me, except my warts and not. Hallelujah to God. Walk through the fire. Let Him try you, purge you, prune you, and make a Christian out of you for the glory of God. Amen. When they walking through that wilderness, you're going to be tried. I'm going to say walking through it, they were tempted. Ain't nobody. Whoa, no, ain't nobody been through what I've been through. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will with the same temptation also make a way of escape. Are you listening? I want all you young people to stand up. As they walk through the wilderness, stand up, young folk, all of you. Stand up, Brandon, will you help me? As they walk through the wilderness, they were tried and tempted, but I want to show you what God gave me last night. Not like they done a double backflip, buddy. Amen. That old crowd done what, Brother Doug?
Died in the wilderness.
They died in the wilderness. They died there. So chapter 8 and verse 5 can't be said about the old crowd. They died there. They never come up out of the wilderness.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Amen. You're a child of God, ain't you?
I ain't dying anymore.
Amen. Stay up, children.
Amen.
Are all you children listening to what I'm telling you? I want you young people, and I'm preaching to you. All of them 20 years old and older died. They died in the wilderness. So who was that crowd that came up out of the wilderness and crossed the Jordan? With the exceptions of Joshua and Caleb. It had to have been those that were under 20 years of age when they went in.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir, preacher.
You kids want to shout this morning? Y'all want to help Brother Hall? Here's Miss Sandy's smiling. I'll get over here a little while. Here's the thought God's putting on my heart last night. While the old folks had rebelled at Kadesh Barnea, refused to walk in God's ways in Canaan, but for 40 long years, all we ever hear preached about is in 40 years, God killed off the old crowd. But I'm going to tell you something. 40 years, they were tried, tempted, but that younger crowd was trained. For 40 years, they were being trained of God. Trained to do what, Brother Hall? Trained to lean upon their beloved. Oh yes, that they might cross that Jordan River into the promised land under the power and the anointing grace of the Holy Ghost of Almighty God. Don't sit down, kids. No, I said, don't sit down.
Amen. Great preacher.
I heard Mrs. Benedict out here singing them little old kids the other day. And I thought, hallelujah to God. I peeked around the corner and Miss Hall had them stand up here and they just a singing and a bellowing out to the top of their lungs. And I thought, praise be unto God. There's their mamas and daddies sitting on the pews, dead, deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. And some of you don't realize it, but you may be dying in the wilderness today. But while you're dying, this crowd's being trained. And what you won't do, they will do someday. And you know what he had? When he was trying them, he was testing them, he was proving them. He was teaching them to depend upon that rock for their water. He was teaching them to depend upon that manna for their sustenance. And on that rod that they had watched that old man of God lay out across that Red Sea and watched the waters part.
Amen.
I want you kids to watch your pastor. Are you listening to me, young people? I want you, I have watched the shepherd's rod. I've extended it out over the waters of the Red Sea from time to time and seen God part the waters for me. And I've went across on dry land. Hallelujah. Son, when the devil thought he had drowned me in the Red Sea, by the power of God, I was led across on dry ground. I want you to learn that lesson this morning, children. May God teach you, young people, that there is a life to be lived, my friend, that is beyond the life of most young morons and hoodlums in society today. Thank you and be safe. Hallelujah. You don't have to get out there and run in sin, commit adultery and whoremong and fornicate, cuss, drink, gamble, and steal. My brother told me last night, I've got a brother lives in Florida, and he told me last night, said he's laying drunk every day, and he's got an adopted son that lives up in Indiana. It's not his own, it's one of his other wives. Said he had taken money from people to go buy them dope and was buying himself dope. And now there he's running from them. They threatened to kill him. He set himself in down in Louisville to a rehab center. Is that the light? Is that the life we want for our children? Brother Ricky told Brother Ricky Morton, little old Rebecca's over at the house the other day. She said, Papa, you know what me going to do when I get big? She said, I'm going to marry with a Rick. Okay. Back this morning, Brother Big Rick said, I hope he does. Don't you want them to marry in their own faith? I say yes. And bless God, they didn't have to go outside of Israel and marry a Midianite or a Canaanite. God gave them Hebrews to marry. You don't have to go outside your church. When God's ready, son, I'm telling you, lean on Him. God will send somebody to the house of God where you are. Amen. May not have muscles as big as mine, May not be as handsome as I am. But He'll send you somebody, ladies. Are you listening? They were trained. 40 years He taught them how to lean on Him. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? 40 years! He taught them to lean, to lean, to lean. Learning to lean. Some of you need to learn to lean. That old song, learning to lean. Finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Hallelujah. When it comes time for the passage of the Jordan, they crossed from the wilderness to Canaan, leaning upon their beloved.
Amen.
Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Leaning!
Yes.
Not on His arm, on Him! Now, I don't have time to go into all that, but that implies His entire being. You can lean upon His humanity, because He can be touched with the feeling of your infirmity. And you can lean upon His deity. He has the power to uphold you. Lean upon Him in His priesthood. Oh, yes, lean upon Him in His power. Lean upon Him in His person. Yes, you can lean, learning to lean. Some of you in here this morning need to learn to lean on Him. That's why in this holiday season you're depressed. It's because you've let oppression drive you into depression. And the depression is robbing you of the joy of the season we're living in. Hallelujah. I used to think at Christmas time when you get time to dry, I think, well, the problem is we're singing these little old Christmas songs. And who can get excited over a Christmas song? But I'm going to tell you what I've kind of changed. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold.
Amen.
Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Son, if we can worship God in that.
Amen.
From heaven's all gracious King, the world in solemn stillness lay, to hear the angels say, the bride, get this now.
Amen.
She is ascending up from the wilderness. Who is this that cometh up?
Amen.
She is ascending up. And I've got news for you, friend, that your entire pilgrimage will be an uphill battle.
Amen.
We're mountain climbers, old Brother Brian Williams. You said an old mountain for a climber.
Amen.
That's no hill for a climber. We're mountain climbers, son.
Yes.
You lay back in the valley, you'll die there, a despondent creature of God.
Yes.
But if He'll press on toward the mark.
Yes.
I said, this is Christmas. Why aren't you preaching Christmas? That's God. That's what you need to hear.
Yes.
Amen.
It's an uphill battle. You've got to press it. Move it.
Amen.
She's coming up out of the wilderness. Now, listen now, don't leave me. Not only her parting from the wilderness, but I see her posture as she journeys.
Amen.
Somebody ought to see Kingpin's posture in there in that office sometime.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something. No. He is exactly right. He's taken full advantage of that love seat.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right. Ain't that right, fellas?
Amen.
He's taken full advantage of that love seat. He's got his whole, he's got all of his being on that love seat.
Amen.
He's leaning on it.
Amen.
Literally laying on it.
That's right. Amen.
That love seat's carrying his whole load. The point I want to make there is her posture. She's not just leaning her head like John on his bosom. She's not leaning on his arm. But she's leaning on him. That signifies he's carrying her whole load. Is he carrying your load today, or are you still trying to pack it yourself? He carries your load, folks. Cast in all your care upon him. Because he cares for you. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I want you to come on in the house. Buddy, I'm getting ready to just, if you get a hold of this, it'll bust your hide. Why can't you cast your care upon him if you're saved? Listen now. He's carrying your whole load. And that begins by carrying all your sin. We'll trust him to take our sin and carry it in his own body. He bore our sins and our sorrows on the cross. We'll trust him to carry our sin, but not ourselves. He bore our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. I want to ask something, friend. If you can cast all your sin on him at the cross, why can't you give him the rest of it this morning?
Amen.
He carries the whole of your sin, all of it. And I've learned, friend, that sin goes far beyond adultery. The Bible tells me anything not of faith is sin.
Amen.
I believe worry is sin.
Amen.
I believe sadness is sin.
Amen.
You think he's big enough to carry that sin this morning? Some of you are deprived from blessings of God because you let sin rob you of His grace.
Amen.
Brother Hall, I ain't read my Bible, I ain't prayed. I just have these bad thoughts running through my mind all the time. Join the crowd.
Amen.
I don't know anybody that ain't like that. And here's where the problem comes in, friend. We say that he carries the whole of our sin, but we don't let him carry the weight of the shame of it.
Amen.
And we ought to be ashamed of our sin.
Yes,
but he can carry the weight of your shame. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Leaning upon her beloved. She's cast all her sin upon him. She's cast all her shame upon him.
Amen.
Ever occur to you when they stripped him of his clothes and hanged him on the cross, revealing his entire body, including his manliness?
Amen.
The shame that he carried there, friend. Shame and disgrace, that you and I may cast the shame and disgrace of our sin upon him. Oliver Green wrote a book, the best book he ever wrote, From Disgrace to Grace. You've got nothing to be ashamed of, friend. He's carrying the whole of your sin. He's carrying the weight of your shame. He'll carry the weariness of your soul.
Amen.
Just like Joseph, when those boys, when he sent his brothers out of Egypt, he told them, said, see that you fall not out.
Amen.
By the way. He knew it would be a long, hard journey. Is anybody at all listening to me?
Amen.
He knew it would be a long, hard journey, friend, from Egypt to Canaan. Knew there would be a temptation to sit down on the roadside and just give up. Some of you said, preacher, we're here in body. I've heard a lot of folks say, preacher, and I won't be there in body, but I'll be there in spirit. I'd rather you be here in spirit than in body.
Amen.
But I'd rather you'd be here in spirit and body.
Amen.
Friend, I tell you what, I've got weary in the way, but I've never got weary of the way.
Amen.
I'm tired. I get tired just like some of the rest of you, but I have never grown weary never grown weary of the way that He's given me.
Amen.
Those Israelites, when they crossed Mount Hor, became discouraged because of the way.
Amen.
And God sent serpents amongst them, friend, to judge them. Now, Brother Randy didn't tell it. He didn't really hang on that a whole lot. But I'm telling you, discouragement and murmuring brought judgment from God.
Amen.
The worst way in His way is better than the best way in the devil's way.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The weariness. She got tired in the way, but not tired of the way. And then I see here His promise that she clings to. Here's what some of y'all need. It said, I raise thee up under the apple tree.
Amen.
You remember I preached on that some time ago and I said the word raised up means to open the eyes or to enlighten. Now, here's what Jesus is telling her. He said, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? He said, I raised you up under the apple tree.
Right. Amen.
I enlightened you under the cross.
Amen.
And if while you were dead in sin,
amen,
if I carried your load when you were dead in sin, unworthy of grace, ought to be in hell, how much more will I carry your load now that you're a child of God? What a promise. I raised you up under the cross. I raised you up not to disappoint you, not to drop you, but carry you all the way in my bosom to the throne of God.
Amen.
I won't say her memory had been stirred, buddy. When he said, I raised you up under that, buddy, she got to thinking what God had done for her. That's where, hey, some of you need that little memory of yours jogged.
Amen. Amen.
Christ, and I wrote this down on my own. I don't think it's going to mean much this morning. But I believe what Christ is saying, if I open thine eyes and save thee, I will succor thee now that thou art mine. Just like an old stump suckers them little shoots that comes out on it. The old stump, you can't hardly see. It's just an old stump in the ground with them little old shoots. Draw their strength from the sap that's still in the stump.
Amen.
He said, if I save you, I'll sucker you.
Amen.
If I save you, I'll give you grace. If I save you, I'll give you help. If I save you, I'll bless you. If I save you, I'll sustain you. If I save you, I'll provide for you. I am your Father. Christ says that. Old Brother Peter said in 2 Peter 1:13, yeah, I think it meet, as long as I'm in the tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I want you to remember this morning where you was when Christ saved you and how you rejoiced. How you shouted to victory and smiled, raised your hands, sang the hymns of the faith, come to church because you wanted to, not because you had to. Sang in the choir with some joy in your heart because the burden of your soul had been lifted. And I'm here to tell you this morning that He that lifted the burden of sin and lifted the burden of guilt and lifted the burden of your condemnation. That same God, Son, can lift the burden of the sorrow that you're in this morning. Can do that. Paul said in Hebrews 2:18, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." That means he can carry your load. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He can carry your load. He can hold you up. Now look here. It ain't going to go nowhere, but I'm going to say it anyway. If she's leaning upon him, Miss Sharon, then that tells me that she didn't find any sufficiency in herself, but found all grace and power in him.
Amen.
But yet we try to shoulder up, and I'm going to look here. When we're bad, our load, we're like this. But when we lean upon him, the weight of our load is shifted from us to upon the shoulders of Christ. We're no longer under that load. He's under it, and we're like this.
Amen.
You getting a hold of that? I noticed old Doug, him and Lisa been going through all them financial troubles, and he just kept getting on that bench right there. I never said nothing about it. But I watched him get on that bench. And I said in my heart, I said, "Lord, one of these days he'll get on that bench and he'll raise the bed and open the back door.
Amen.
And he'll drop that load he's carrying on the shoulders of Jesus."
Amen.
And I noticed, I don't know, and I have no earthly idea. I know about a month ago. Maybe it's less time than that. Time gets away from us older folks. Doug stood up in here one, and he said, "I want to thank God for things that's happened around my house lately.
Amen.
What God's done for me down there." And I thought, well, that's the same thing he said when Lisa got saved. Surely she didn't get reclutched or something, you know what I'm saying? Recast. He never has told me what that was. But he got... And Doug is always jovial. Old Joe Hodge said, "Well, one thing I like about Brother Bell is that he's just always happy." But I'm going to tell you, sometimes you can see through smiles. But I'd rather him smile and be able to see through it and know that there's problems and just know that they're there without looking through the smile. But I noticed some time ago that the smile and the something in the spirit got equal. I got saying, he must have dumped something up here at night. He's been in the wilderness, but I saw it.
Amen.
Coming out of the wilderness, leaning upon his beloved.
Amen.
Y'all don't mind if we do a little personal preaching, do you? This pad is pretty heavy. But one of these days, you'll learn how to... I work for the Clark County, I drove them dump trucks and hauled that asphalt in that truck. And I had a rope back there. And we'd pull that rope and that tailgate would flap open. We'd hit that hydraulic down. That blacktop, that paver start pushing that truck. And that blacktop start running out of it. I could always tell when the load had been dumped from the truck to the paver. Because going out to the paver, That truck do pretty good as long as it was on level ground. But when them trials and tribulations of those hills would set in, that truck would begin to it'd slow down because it was under a load. I'll never forget when we went to Canada. Took Brother Moody, moved Brother Moody up there. There's Mike in an automobile, it weighs about 7 pounds.
running 80 miles an hour, and there we go across the Rocky Mountains up in Canada with that big old light and truth deuce and a half. And Mike is, and here me and Miss Hall coming back there. And Mike saying, where you at, preacher? Come on, preacher. Waiting on you, preacher. But I'm going to tell you what, when we got to Canada and dumped that load, coming back in Idaho, a fella come rolling up behind me and said, son, you know how fast you drive? I forgot I wasn't under the load no more. I got so light that I lost it there for a little while and got running a little too fast. And I'm telling you what some of you need to do this morning. Is to back your truck up to Him and dump your load.
Amen.
And you'll quit this.
Amen.
Don't you sit there and look like that. I see you frown at me.
Amen.
Amen. Won't you just dump it this morning on Him?
Amen.
Can I share this with you? He will not fail me now. He will not fail me now.
Amen.
Oh, how's that song going now? Huh? If I loved you so that to Calvary I'd go, I will not fail thee now. If I raise thee up under the tree, I will not fail thee now. If He saved you and raised you up, He won't fail you now. Miss Hall in the choir sings that old song. No need to doubt Him now. He'll make a way somehow. You know what? I hadn't even thought about it until the other day. And most preachers, we got a church of, well, let's see, let's just count them. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 men. 18 counting me here this morning. I'm talking about adult men. One of the adult men gets his income from this church. There's another adult man that gets his income from this church. There's an adult man that ain't worked in a year. There's two more sitting over there that's not just really, you know, got a steady job with a real steady income all the time. There's one that's retired. There's one that works. There's one out of work. Another out of work. Another now to work. There's one that works, two that works, three that works, four that works, five that works, six that works, seven. Out of all the men in this church, of course, I know there's seven men. It's got steady jobs. And most preachers would be chewing on their finger and laugh. I ain't going to worry about it. What can I do? Somebody said, preacher, what if we lose our money and go buy them? I'm going to tell you what we'll do. We'll put a for sale sign out in the yard, move over in my backyard, praise God, and camp out in the stuff tent. We'll sell a whole shooting match, lock, stock, and barrel. Son, go out here and buy a quarter of an acre of ground and go out there and sit under a tent and worship God in it.
Amen.
It's big enough for a back room. I live in a back room. I'm not going to worry about all that. I'll have exactly what He wants me to have. When, how, and where He wants me to have it.
Amen.
God, that's right.
Amen.
Now notice the fourth thing. The peace she enjoys. She shows absolutely no signs of anxiety at all. She is fully confident in Him. She's not struggling. She's not fighting. She's not worried. She just leans on Him and takes the free ride.
Amen.
Amen.
His presence pleases her.
Yes, sir.
His power possesses her. and His peace pacifies her.
Amen.
Let me borrow him a minute. He's a pretty good illustration. What is that thing right there? Oh, Matthew, what is that? Not Joseph, I'm sorry. I keep on calling him Matthew because I called him Cater for so long and she said he's not Cater. All right. What do you call that thing? That's a pacifier. Watch him. Happy as a lark with that in his mouth, ain't he? He's pacified.
Right.
He doesn't have the real thing, but he's found peace in that.
Amen.
Now, we don't have the physical body of Christ that we can get a hold of. But we are to be pacified, leaning upon Him by faith.
Amen.
Anybody here know what the word Pacific means in Pacific Ocean? It means calm. Pacify, Pacific, calm. See how calm that boy is? He goes right back after it. He's contented with that thing in his mouth. That little bride was content.
Amen.
Just leaning on that beloved. Still in the wilderness and content. Coming up out of it. Still contented. Canaanites all around her. Midianites. Parasites and Hivites and hypocrites and all them other ites and tots. But she was still contented.
Amen.
Peaceful. Yes. Calm. No anxiety at all. No cares. Leaning on her beloved. Who is this? Cometh up out of the wilderness. That little bride.
Amen.
I got to say this for a stop. I'll quit rambling in a minute. How many of you remember? How many of you remember? Old Benny's still doing pretty good. I give him credit. Him and Mark. How many of you remember how it was when you first got married? Look at that. Ain't that sweet? Where you got your hand, Andy? Look, raise that up. Look at that. Ain't that precious? That's precious. She's still leaning on her beloved. Remember how it was when you first got married, ladies? And you just wanted to be everywhere he was? Right close to him, kind of hanging on to his shirt tail wherever he went. And when he went, when he left for work in the morning, he'd say, "See you tonight, sweetheart." I know we're giggling, but honest before the Lord. That is exactly how we ought to be with our Lord. Not, hey, I want to be separated, but just leaning on Him. Ain't they peaceful sitting there? Look at old man. He just is peaceful sitting there, and Angie just is peaceful. You got any cares right now, son? And I'm gonna can I tell you this? Look here. Somebody said, "Well, old Benny ought to be acting like that. He makes good money now. I'm building that nice house. Got a new van, a new truck. He ought to be happy like that. Now they ought to be contented like that." I've got news for you, friend. They were the same way when they lived in that 8-foot-wide house trailer set out there.
Amen.
What I'm saying is, it don't take things to make them happy. It takes one another to make them happy.
Amen.
And it don't take things to make us have just Just Jesus.
Amen.
Just Jesus.
Amen.
I've tried to help you this morning. It's been such a low spirit. I've tried to help you, honest, before God, and I love you. And somebody said, "Preacher, why do you keep preaching this way?" Because I love you.
Amen.
And I'm looking for the right key, the right combination to turn the lock that's got your heart closed. That's where Jesus, the Lord of glory, can come in.
Amen.
And you can learn to lean on Him.
Amen.
And walk with Him down life's pathway, friend. And one of these days, the trumpet will sound and we'll come up out of the wilderness. And that band of angels standing over on the other side will say, "Who is this?
Amen.
Coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved."
Amen.
And Jesus will turn to you and I and say, "I'll raise thee up under the apple tree."
Yes, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What a wonderful God.
Amen.
Let's stand together, please. I've tried, really tried, to encourage your hearts.